This is CliffCentral.com.
Sure, so much to be miserable about sports-wise, but let's see if maybe there's a glimmer of hope coming from the money. I'm not going to hold my breath on this one, but it's worth trying. To help us begin to unravel these problems, here is Anthea Gardner.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
We played the whole song on Friday. Didn't you love that? Hang on, let me put your microphone on. We played your whole song.
That was pretty cool, I thought.
Oh, did you like it?
Yes. I particularly went and listened after.
So, what are we looking at?
I'm afraid I don't have that much good news.
It's okay. Today is not a good news day. It's raining and storming outside. The world's coming to an end.
Yeah, be happy with the fact that we're even here today. Like, we made it.
Oh, okay. Let's go with that. Wow, low standards.
Very low hanging fruit.
The bar is so low. Okay. Lower than the snake's ankles this morning.
Oh, dear. All right. So, the Aussie closed 33 basis points lower. Resources were down. Golds were solid, but you know how that works, right? So when the market's a bit nervous, people run to gold. It makes no sense. It's a fundamentally flawed position. Exactly. And who knows? It'll probably come off again later on. I tell you what was a bright spark on Friday. MTN. So it was announced on Friday that the fine is going to be $1.67 billion. So we were expecting, or the original amount was
$5 or $6 billion.
$5.2 billion, right? Mm. So MTN was up at one stage on Friday 21%.
Wow.
That's just phenomenal, actually. And I think that's why the industrials index was a little bit higher on Friday. It was all to do with MTN. And then it closed at about 13%, so it spiked and then came back a bit, a little bit of profit taking. A lot of people got caught off guard. I was very surprised. So the fine will be paid in 6 tranches over 3 years. Nigeria makes up about 40% of group cash flow for MTN. And I think they are sitting with a significant amount of cash on the Nigerian balance sheet. So you don't need the translation from rands into this naira, because actually the fine's in naira. We convert it to dollars to make it easier for us to compare. And then they also said a couple of things. They said that they will voluntarily observe the code of corporate governance, which I thought was funny because I would think as a company, as a listed company, you would have to do that anyway. Mm. I think they're just blowing smoke, the poor Nigerian government.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to be fully compliant. You know, they're trying to say we will abide by our license terms. Don't take our license away. And then secondly, this is more interesting. They said that they will list MTN in Nigeria or the Nigerian Stock Exchange as soon as it is commercially and legally possible. Phuthuman Nhleko, who you know is the stand-in CEO, said on Friday that they had plans to do this all along, which they probably did, but now it becomes more of an urgent thing. MTN is Nigeria's biggest telecom, so it makes sense for the government to want to list them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the question now, should we be buying MTN? What do we do now? Depends.
There's so many factors, right?
Exactly. And there's still 3 things outstanding, actually. So if you, whichever metrics you use, more or less, you get to a fair value of 150 Rand. The share's trading at 140 Rand. What's that, a 7% upside? You can get 7% plus in a money market account. So the risk of this company producing, or the share price going to 150 or 200, is too high compared, like the downside risk for me is too high. And the 3 things, they still need a new CEO. They haven't announced that yet. They said they're going to do it by end of June. And, of course, the whole, I'm not sure. The second thing, the whole Nigeria thing, the fact that this fine came out of nowhere and that it was so punitive.
Yeah, it smacks of some kind of, like, Nigeria is not the best market to be in if you're looking for stability.
All right.
It's great for all kinds of other reasons, but stability, no.
Yeah, exactly. So this could potentially happen again. So those 2 things. And then the 3rd thing, there is a possible devaluation of the Naira coming. And this is just because of what's happened in the country. They need to devalue to kind of get back or find economic growth, you know?
Right.
In which case that doesn't help MTN. So
I would say no.
I would say no. Yes. No. You can tell.
Just based on those are good reasons. It's too much of a risk.
Yeah.
There are better ways we can spend and make money.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
You know, it was a 260 rand stock a year ago. Eh? It's now 140. Scary.
Well, that reminds you of the vagaries of this whole market. Plus, we've got to look at the fundamentals for these networks. They're really in the data business now.
Absolutely. That is, in fact, where the growth is coming from.
So even though they're making good money, it's all coming out of data. It's not coming out of phone calls. It's not coming out of text messages. And MTN have been scurrilous, along with Vodacom, in trying to petition the government to allow them to almost sideline, and certainly not sideline, but to charge over-the-top rates for WhatsApp and Skype and all these other services that everyone in the world uses for free. So there's a bit of gouging, if you ask me, looking likely in the future of MTN and Vodacom. And if they are, we shouldn't support them.
Yeah. So the growth is definitely in MTN, is definitely coming from data. But I think what you're saying is that margins are going to be under pressure. So what's the point of growing if your margins are shrinking? Yeah. So we'll see that come off. But talk about IT businesses. Naspers reports on the 24th of June.
You know, we had John Madison in here on Friday, who's written this book, and he went into the history of Naspers and how it all sort of came about. And, you know, the first picture was this picture of D.F. Malan, who was the editor of the first newspaper Naspers owned.
Oh, wow.
And he took it through, you know, as it went from there into digital television and satellite television, and then all these other digital media assets, and then ultimately Tencent with Chris Becker at the helm. What a smart man he was, remains. And this, of course, is why Naspers is the most, it's got the highest market cap in the African continent for any company.
Yeah, it's a trillion rand company, eh?
Amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah.
So what did you want to tell us about?
So we've got results on the 24th of June. I see Tencent's down 3% this morning, which means Naspers is going to be down. But that aside, right, they've got a 63% stake in this Novus business, which is a printing business, which reported last week. And actually, things are really not looking good. The print revenues were down 3%. Again, pressure on this newspaper magazine volume. I mean, like, it's an old story, right?
Right.
Although revenues grew by 17 or just over 17%. And then operating profit was down 2.5%. So in other words, again, the story of you're seeing revenue growth, but your margins are under pressure. So that's the first issue for Naspers and one of the companies they hold. And then there's quite a bit of speculation that Naspers is going to sell their Polish marketplace business called Allegro. It's a business that they bought in 2007 for $1.4 billion, and the current valuation is about $3 billion.
Hmm.
So for Naspers, that's not a huge amount of money. That's the first thing. Although it is positive in my view, because what I think Naspers are doing is they're getting rid of assets that are
not core.
Yes, and not generating as much as they could. So what they could do potentially with this $3 billion that they're going to get from the sale of Allegro is invested in faster growing assets, which is kind of Naspers' business, right? Naspers is no longer a media business. It's a private equity business. And so it's all about making return on the cash that they get. And that's kind of key.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. Media business is a thing of the past.
And I see Amazon are also investing $3 billion in India, which I think bodes well for Naspers because it's the same kind of internet emerging market play. And so what it's telling us really is that there's still lots of potential to grow. And then, well, hopefully Naspers will be able to make good with it.
What do you think their overall strategy is? To just keep bringing in new businesses that will add to their value? Do you think it's to keep looking for opportunities, or do you think that they're also looking to sell a piece of the action?
So I don't think Naspers is a traditional media content business anymore. I actually think really it's a private equity business. And when you're in private equity business, you invest in early stage companies and then hope these companies grow 10-100 fold. The problem with these private equity type businesses is you don't know which one to back. You don't always know which one is going to be the great success story.
Mm.
That's the problem. And invariably, 1 out of 10 succeed and the other 9 don't. And so you just hope that the one that does increases 100-fold while the others, well, there's a couple of billion you've lost and you write it off because you've made money with the one.
Wow. It's that mercenary.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Totally.
All right. Now, let's talk about Ben often does the dickheads of history. Now, we're going to talk this morning about a dickhead of finance.
Mm.
Who is this guy, this rogue trader, Jerome? Jerome Cavill. He sounds pretty awful. Just the name sounds awful. So who is he?
So Jerome Cavill in 2007 was a futures trader for SocGen, Societe Generale. And he lost 4.9 billion euros, the biggest amount of money ever lost by a rogue trader.
4.9?
Yeah. So 4.9
billion
euros.
Yo.
So if you convert it to today's rand, that's about 84 billion rand, which is the market cap of Woolworths. He lost an entire Woolworths in a couple of trades.
Now, when we say rogue trader, aren't these guys mostly the ones who end up in jail?
Yes. So he did get convicted. He got 3 years in jail. He has served 5 months, and he got let out with an electronic bracelet after 5 months.
What's he doing now? Is he allowed to get back into trading?
This is the part that's really annoying, right? So he's kind of rogue trader turned saint, and he's now fighting against the financial system, because his big thing in the beginning was that actually SocGen knew about his trades, and he said that it wasn't all his fault and he was just the scapegoat. And in fact, last week, the French court awarded him 450,000 euros. Because they said, in damages, because they said, well, actually, SocGen did know about it, and they dismissed him unfairly. Based on the amount...
You lose 4.however billion
Call
euros.
Call it 5 billion.
5 billion euros, and you're the victim?
Yeah. He's such a character. So this 450,000 euros that he won was based on the fact that he was unfairly dismissed. But you know, he's such a dickhead.
Tell me why.
Before he went to jail, he met the Pope, apparently.
Oh, yes. Good move. Cleanse
then,
your sins.
Yes. And right. did a pilgrimage from Rome to France.
Right. Probably to Lourdes or Nantes or something like that, right?
He's from Brittany, so it's probably like Nantes or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
And
I can smell the hypocrisy from a mile away.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I can smell him from here, and he's in France. Mm. All right, so what is he doing?
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. He's just fighting the system, basically. But, you know, there have been a couple of them. One of the other famous ones was a guy called Nick Leeson. And, in fact, I think...
I remember Nick Leeson. Yeah. Didn't he go to jail?
Yes, he did. No. And I think he spent 5 years in jail and also came out, wrote two books. So the first one was called Rogue Trader. The second one was Back to Life or something, or Back from the Brink. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Leeson. And it's the same story. He's now a keynote speaker, although Nick Leeson did get sick. I think he had cancer or something, so a bit of upcomings there.
But this Cavill guy, he's milking this, huh?
He's the biggest one, yeah. He's
a
funny
guy.
But you know what's interesting about...
What's he worth now?
Jerome Cavill?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, has he come out really well?
I think he's done okay.
Because before he went to jail, there was
obviously... He was making lots of money, right?
So he was putting that money in the bank. And so you go to jail for what? How, 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
Please, get out again. You've lost $5 billion for your bank, but it doesn't matter.
Nearly brought the bank to its knees.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Don't worry
Although
about
Nick
it.
Although Nick Leeson did actually bring Barings Bank to its knees. You know, Barings was eventually sold for £1 to somebody. I forget who it was.
£1.
Yeah.
Nice.
But all these guys, the one thing about them that I've noticed, so the top 10, eight of the top 10 were actually futures or options derivatives traders in some shape or form, which I find really intriguing because my background is derivatives trading. And I understand that the banks generally are quite happy to give you enough leeway to say, you know, here's some money, go and capitalize on it, make us as much money as you can off it. And that's what Jerome said. Like SocGen said, well, while he was making lots of profits for them, they were happy with it. But the minute he made a loss, they suddenly turned on him. And so there is a study actually that says that looked at derivatives trading and whether or not we should, because you know Warren Buffett called it weapons of mass financial destruction. Derivatives I'm talking about.
Oh really?
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the world after 2008 believed that derivatives were this big bad thing and anybody who was a derivatives trader was evil.
Is that when people would look askance at you?
Oh, I've had so many conversations about this. A like, because after 2008, I went to work for the African Development Bank, where everyone was an angel and a saint, and I was the derivatives trader.
So they hated you. I was bad.
Wow. So this research, though, I just want to say that they did a study that showed that if a company used derivatives, and generally companies use it for hedging, that on average, companies that did use derivatives, their market cap to book value ratio increased by 6%. So it's not a bad thing. It's just these guys giving derivatives a bad name.
Right.
And that's
rogue
what it is.
Rogue traders.
Indeed.
So now we have decades of history on a Tuesday, and we'll have rogue traders to add to that pile.
Brilliant.
Then. All right. While we're talking about money that can be made and money that can be lost, let's just talk about what might have happened. You see a lot of these companies who, and we've got some time, you see a lot of these companies who are valued at an astronomical amount now. Their market value is enormous. But when they started out, they were cheap as chips. And some of them have gone up by orders of magnitude that we can't even figure and we can't fathom. If we'd invested, for example, $5,000 in Amazon, back at IPO, so 1997, what would that be worth today?
$2 million.
$5,000 becomes $2 million.
Yeah. So should we do a currency exchange? So at the time, the US dollar South African rand rate was 4.67, which means you would have invested 23,000.
Sorry, just hang on a second. Back in 1997, it was 4 rand 67 to the dollar.
Yes.
God, how far we've come.
Everybody take a moment to breathe. You've got to laugh, otherwise you will kill yourself.
That was a nervous laugh.
Tabo Mbeki and Trevor Manuel, please come back.
All is forgiven, right?
Please. Wow. Okay, so the US dollar to rand rate was 4.67, so that $5,000 was 23,050 rand.
Right.
Okay.
Today, that exchange rate is 1527, by the way. It's gone badly. You know, on Friday, it weakened by about 3%. So your 23,050 rand would have become 30.5 million rand.
Wow.
And that's in the space of 19 years.
So this is obviously the way to go.
No, hang on a second. Okay. No, you see, this is the problem.
You just hear that kind of rate of return. Do you even know what that rate of return is?
47,000%.
It's not bad.
That's all right.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
All right. Now, that's not the way to go, because at the same time that Amazon, that we were having this IT boom, right, there was something called, I forget that pet company. What was it called? Anyway, forget that. And then there was another one called Webvan, which was the grocery delivery business where you shopped online. It was no different from Amazon. What happened to that?
It went bust.
Exactly. So how do you know to have invested in Amazon or Webvan? Which one?
Well, you know what? This is what these venture capitalists were telling us about in Silicon Valley. You've got to look at the team. You've got to look at who's involved.
But Jeff Bezos was a nobody at the time.
That's true. But he might have had the right people around him. He might have had the right ideas. He might have been the kind of impressive person you go, this guy is worth investing money in. And if it was 23,000 rand in those days, and you could be on 30.5 million rand now, you'd have made the right bet. So even if you lost 23,000 rand.
But what if you'd chosen where? Oh, I see. So you're okay with that. You're okay with private equity investments then.
Sure.
So Amazon was up 47,000%, but the NASDAQ, which is the index that they're listed on, is a member of, is only up 300% in the same time. So Amazon is completely an outlier.
Sure. But then, you know, 300%, I'll take those odds too.
Okay. So what about Naspers? We were talking about it early on. So in the same period from 1997 to today, Naspers has increased by 4,500%.
Unbelievable.
But at more, well, I won't say at the same time, because it was slightly before that, Times Media Group had the same market cap as Naspers.
Right.
What if you had invested in that instead of Naspers?
Dead.
Exactly. So how do you know? So there's no way of knowing. And in 1997, Anglo American was much more of a solid company, right? It was the kind of company you wanted to be invested
in.
Sure. Anglo American from 1997 to today, only up 85%. So
they're even lucky to be up considering what they're in.
Yeah.
It's like Edgar's. Years ago, if I'd said to you, why don't you invest in this tiny little .com business that's going to sell shoes and things online. Or you can invest in Edgar's. You'd say Edgar's. That's the smart money, right?
Yeah.
And what
you're
would
buying
you
be? Bricks and mortar.
And what would you be doing now?
Oh, yeah.
Crying.
No, yeah.
Crying.
That would be terrible. But you know Warren Buffett missed out on the IT boom, eh? He did not invest in any, he did not believe in any of these IT companies. So Warren Buffett is a little bit more my style, kind of, I want to see fundamentals. I want to see cash flow. I want to see that things are solid and on the ground.
Wow.
In fact, Warren Buffett,
you mean he's
was
still,
investing.
He's about the second or third richest man in the world, despite not making any money off the dot-coms.
Not being invested in Amazon. Wow. In fact, at the time of the IT boom, he was investing in railway companies. Exactly.
And he still made his money.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're trying to do, I have to say this, but what we're trying to do here is not find the one Amazon, what I try to do. Okay, yeah. So there are people who do that.
Right.
Is we try to beat the market. So we try to have a nice diversified portfolio of shares, and then we watch them, you know. And so MTN, we're happy to hold it, except when things happen, go badly, or when the fundamentals change, we sell out and we beat the market, and that's okay. So, okay, we haven't made 47,000%. But we've done better than kind of the Anglos in the 19 years, only up 85%, basically.
Right. So okay, so just beat the market and stay safe.
And capital preservation, I think, is very important for people.
Yes. Yeah. No, definitely. You don't want to come out with a loss. Rather, avoid and mitigate risk where you can.
Yeah. And the funny thing about Amazon, you know, they're now going the web van route, where they're now suddenly selling groceries and doing home deliveries. And
right. Well, who knows if that's going to go well or not. Maybe they've reached their ceiling.
Oh, dear, don't say that.
Well, it could be the truth.
It could be.
You know, eventually everything has to reach a point where it's saturated in the market. Maybe that's it for Amazon. I don't know. I mean, it could carry on ad infinitum.
Yeah.
There are places all over the world where they haven't yet discovered Amazon.
Yeah.
I love Amazon. I just hate our post office.
Yeah.
So please, Mark Barnes, can you sort that out?
Fingers crossed, right?
All right, Anthea, that's fascinating stuff. Why don't we look at another company every week that you would have either lost or gained a huge amount of money
in?
That would be fun. And let's go back to 94, somewhere around there, when the country was just turning. Well, when we celebrated our first sort of democratic elections.
Sure.
Let's see what we can do.
Okay.
It's only 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting, actually, because we don't really... I mean, because in that time we had the GFC, we had a commodity rout.
No, there was a lot of trauma.
But then there was Naspers. So.
Yeah, there's some people who've weathered the storm and others who've fallen underfoot. All right, but thank you.
Pleasure.
Excellent. There's Anthea Gardner. A look at your money.
This is CliffCentral.com.